UTC right after the international news.
We can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's International Women's Day, and on Monday's show, it's Ladies First. A female athlete who made Olympic history for Iran in 2016 now hopes to compete with the Olympic refugee team for this year's Tokyo Games. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Kimia Elizadeh became Iran's first female Olympic medalist in 2016 when she won bronze in Taekwondo at the Rio Games. And she may have a chance to medal again at the upcoming Tokyo Games, but this time she will compete under the white flag of the Olympic refugee team. In January 2020, Elizadeh announced on social media that she was fleeing her home country because she no longer wanted to be part of, quote, hypocrisy, lies, injustice, and flattery. She spoke to Reuters News from her training camp and said, despite making history as Iran's only female Olympic medalist, she needed to make a fresh start in a new country.
In Iran, I was the first athlete, first woman in Taekwondo. I got a bronze medal in World Championships and bronze medal in Olympic Games. And I said with myself, so I can do different thing that nobody can do this. And I think it was my motivation. Taekwondo changed my life, you know, because after Olympics, after World Championships, when I got a medal, I was the first athlete in Iran. And after that, all the people know me, and, you know, that was hard.
Elizadeh had several offers to compete for the Netherlands, Canada, Belgium, and Bulgaria, but the 22-year-old chose to settle in Germany, where she has been granted refugee status to compete on the Olympic refugee team this summer. She is now training for the European Taekwondo Championship to qualify for a ticket to Tokyo, and Elizadeh says training has come easier now that she has a flag to compete under at the upcoming games.
You know, when your mind is calm and nothing in your mind, you can training very better. You can focus on your competitions, focus your training. And yes, now everything is okay. And I can. The important thing is I can have my personal life and my sport life together. And it's an important point, yeah.
As Germany's third refugee athlete, Elizadeh will be selected in June from a group of 55 athletes in 12 sports. This year's Olympic refugee team will be featured in a second consecutive summer games. The team was created less than a year before the Rio Olympics in 2016. And at a news conference 4 years ago, IOC President Thomas Bach said he hoped the team's inclusion would send a message of hope to millions of refugees around the world.
These refugee athletes have no national team to belong to. They have no flag to march behind. They have no national anthem to be played. Therefore, we will welcome these refugee athletes to the Olympic Games with the Olympic flag and with the Olympic anthem. They will have a home together with all the other 11,000 athletes from 206 National Olympic Committees in the Olympic Village.
The first refugee team to compete in Rio was a squad of 10 athletes with 8 members from Africa. The team was led by Tegla Larupi of Kenya, a former marathon world record holder who acted as peace ambassador. Rose Local Nien of South Sudan served as the flag bearer in the opening ceremony that year, and Popo Masenga of the Democratic Republic of Congo was chosen to carry the flag at the closing ceremony. In 2019, Thomas Bach announced that the initial 10-member squad had grown to 37 refugee athletes who would attempt to make the final cut for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. Athletes from Cameroon, the DRC, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Sudan, and South Sudan are included in that group. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The daughter of a Hall of Fame basketball player was the number 2 overall pick in the recent National Women's Soccer League draft. Joining us now with that story is Dan Friedel. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Is she the next Megan Rapinoe or Abby Wambach? Well, that's yet to be known, but we do know that Trinity Rodman has a championship pedigree. The up-and-coming soccer star is the daughter of Dennis Rodman, who won NBA championships as a member of both the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. Trinity is 18. She made headlines as the number 2 overall pick in the National Women's Soccer League draft by the Washington Spirit, who sometimes play just a couple kilometers from VOA's studios at Audi Field in Washington, D.C. Rodman, who grew up near Los Angeles, California, was a one-time teammate of another famous daughter. As a girl, she played on the same team with Natalia Bryant, whose father was NBA star Kobe Bryant. Now, if you remember, Natalia's father, Kobe, and her sister, Gianna, died in a helicopter crash. In an interview after the draft, Trinity Rodman said she always enjoyed playing basketball when she was younger, but soccer had the stronger pull.
Obviously, like when you're young, you try a lot of sports. And I think soccer, to me, it just felt more of like at home. Like I felt so comfortable playing. And I think I noticed like at a really young age, probably like 7 or 8, because I would get so annoyed when like we'd lose. And I'd just be like, why? So I'd like freak out on everything. And I think that soccer has just always been like embedded in my brain and I can't stop thinking about it. And I'm just like, I want to go out and play soccer. I want to learn more. I want to do this. I want to play with my feet, really. So I just kind of fell in love with the game.
That's Trinity Rodman, the daughter of ex-NBA star Dennis Rodman, who was the 2nd overall pick in the recent National Women's Soccer League draft. Rodman has played for the USA Women's Youth National Team and was in her first year as a student at Washington State University. Dennis Rodman was married to Trinity's mother for a short time. They divorced in 2004. Trinity Rodman said she'd often complain to her mother after her youth teams would lose. She'd say her teammates weren't playing hard enough. That's when she knew soccer would be her top sport. The first pick of the draft was Emily Fox, a defender for the University of North Carolina. She'll play for the expansion team in Louisville, Kentucky. Rodman was the first of 6 Black women chosen in the first 10 picks. She said she's thrilled with the chance to go play for the Spirit in Washington.
to even just be in the draft with my situation and my age is insane, but to be number two to an amazing team is out of this world. Like, I couldn't ask for anything more. And DC's just got an awesome program, awesome team. The coach is amazing. I've talked to him a couple times. I know he's a hardhead, but I'm so excited to be his player and learn and get better. But their team's awesome, and I'm so excited to go there.
Richie Burke, the hardhead, is the Spirit's manager. He was once a Liverpool and Everton prospect before leaving English soccer. Washington had another pick in the first round. The Spirit chose one of the West Coast's top forwards, Tara McCune, from the University of Southern California. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Dan Friedel.
Thanks, Dan. It'll be interesting to follow Trinity Rodman as she kicks off her professional women's soccer career with the Washington Spirit. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In auto racing, women are ready to return to the Indianapolis 500 starting line this year with a female-led ownership group and driver. Peretta Autosport will be led by automotive and motorsport executive Beth Peretta.
The opening ceremonies of the Indy 500 are some of the most, it's the rich pageantry of the 500 is amazing. The energy here, if you ever have the opportunity to be here in person, it's like nothing else. There are 300,000 people here. There's just this energy. And when you think about, so I grew up watching it on TV, right? And so there's those iconic things that we all are familiar with. And there's that lineup of the starting grid, and that when the teams are out there early on, and there's that sort of swooping crane shot. And the idea of seeing a line of women with matching uniforms, okay, you might say that's cool, but to a 10-year-old girl watching that from home, it hits differently.
Beth Peretta says change is happening in auto racing. Beth says during the past several years, there has been some progress to get more female drivers on the grid. For the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500 on May 30th, Peretta called Swiss racing driver Simona De Silvestro.
Beth actually called me a few months ago and told me about this opportunity. And I think literally an hour later, I was on a Zoom call with Roger Penske. But then it was quite surreal that it all happened so quickly. And for me to really come back to the Speedway with a constellation like this, with the association with Team Penske, it's really, to be honest, as a driver, a dream come true. And I think on something that is really special.
Simona De Silvestro has raced at the Indianapolis 500 five times previously, with her last appearance in 2015. She is one of several women who have been behind the wheel at a race nicknamed the greatest spectacle in racing. Meanwhile, Beth Peretta says she believes there is a lot more to do and a lot more opportunities for women in IndyCar racing. The Indianapolis 500 is usually held in late May here in the USA, either on or around the Memorial Day holiday. But last year, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, it was pushed back about 3 months to August. Japanese driver Takuma Sato won his second Indy 500 title, having won the race previously in 2017.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100-hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta returns to the show with another look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang netted Arsenal's opener against Burnley before a disastrous error from Granit Xhaka allowed Chris Wood to secure a 1-0 draw on a frustrating afternoon at Turf Moor. A 15th successive home draw inches 15th place Burnley 4 points clear of the Premier League bottom three, while Arsenal remain 10th. Their hopes for a late push for European qualification hindered by 2 drop points. Manchester United also ended Manchester City's 21-game winning streak with a brilliantly executed 2-0 victory at the Etihad Stadium. Bruno Fernandes' goal and a rare strike from defender Luke Shaw were enough to hand Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side a confidence-boosting win in the derby. Coming into the Premier League match, City hadn't lost in all competitions since November 21st and was facing a United side short of form based on recent performances. Here's Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's take on the match.
Today, I thought we started really brightly on the front foot. When you get that 1-0 lead, it sets a tone for the game. So, of course, it does. And I thought we were excellent the first 10-15. Then we settled into our shape because probably played more too much on the result. And we adjusted at halftime to be more positive again. And the second goal was incredible. So we're going to do everything we can to keep the performance levels up every day, of course.
That's Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer hailing his team's performance after ending City's 21-match winning run. Despite the defeat, City remains 11 points clear at the top of the table. But the result will do wonders for the Red Devils' hopes of securing second place. Fulham inflicted a 6th successive home defeat on Liverpool, with Gabon midfielder Mario Lemina scoring a first-half winner after catching Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah napping on the edge of the area. Though Liverpool showed more in the second half, Fulham defense stood strong, with Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane unable to make the most of the chances that came his way. The Reds won the title last season by 18 points, had gone 68 home league matches unbeaten before their current run started with a loss to Burnley in January. Here's Liverpool manager Jürgen Klopp's reaction.
Conceding this kind of goal is, of course, a massive blow. There are no words in the world which can just say it's not a problem. I don't know how long before halftime going in there. Team obviously disappointed. We tried to react, and I think we the boys showed that, but in the end we don't score goals, and that's a big problem, especially when you're 1-0 down.
That's Liverpool manager Jürgen Klopp's post-match reactions after his team's 6th straight home defeat. Gareth Bale and Harry Kane did the damage. The Spurs beat Crystal Palace 4-1 to move 6th in the Premier League table. Sunday's victory makes it 3 wins in a row for Tottenham, who only trail 4th-place Chelsea by 2 points in the race for UEFA Champions League qualification. Leicester now lie 3rd in the Premier League, after coming from behind to beat Brighton 2-1. The Foxes have a 7-point cushion over 5th-place Everton, who face Chelsea on Monday in battle for 4th place. The Blues still haven't conceded a home goal in 4 games under Thomas Tuchel, and Everton are better on the road than they are at Goodison Park. The Toffees haven't lost an away game since November 1st, and 29 of their 46 points have come on the road. Moving on to the French League, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice, and Pablo Sarabia was also on target as Paris Saint-Germain saw off fellow French League side Brest 3-0 to book their place in the last 16 of the Coupe de France. The holders were given a tough time in their 1-0 win against Caen in the previous round, but made light work of Saturday's clash. Earlier, Lyon beat second-tier Sochaux 5-2, with 17-year-old French midfielder of Algerian descent Ryan Cherki scoring twice and creating a goal for Belgian defender of Congolese descent Jason Denayer. Algerian centre-back Jamel Benlamri and winger Maxwell Cornet scored Lyon's other goals. Olympique Marseille were also knocked out after a 2-1 loss to 4th-tier Canet, who came from a town with a population of just over 12,000. Jeremy Postarero opened the scoring with a sublime free kick, but Milik equalized shortly before the break, before Johan Baye struck a 71st-minute winner. The Coupe de France is back in action on Monday, with Nice expected to take on Monaco at the Allianz Lawrence Rivera Stadium. Moving on to the Spanish League, French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema scored a late equalizer as Real Madrid prevented City rivals Atletico Madrid from moving 5 points clear at the top of La Liga. Luis Suarez scored the opener, which Kieran Trippier helped create on his return from a 10-week ban for betting. Atletico are 3 points clear of Barcelona, who secured a hard-fought 2-0 win over rivals Osasuna. 18-year-old Spanish midfielder of Guinean descent Alex Moriba and Jordi Alba both recorded their names on the score sheet to send Barcelona second in the table. The victory was Barcelona's second since the club's new camp offices were raided last Monday, with former president Josep Maria Bartomeu arrested in a probe related to allegations of improper management and business corruption. Meanwhile, Joan Laporta has been named as Barcelona president for a second time after winning the club's election. Laporta, whose central pledge was to keep Lionel Messi at the club, won more than 54% of the vote. The 58-year-old, who oversaw the appointment of Pep Guardiola as head coach in his previous spell at the club between 2003 to 2010, succeeds Josep Maria Bartomeu, who resigned in October. Laporta signed the likes of Brazilian superstar Ronaldinho and former Cameroonian forward Samuel Eto'o in his first stint as president, with the club winning the Champions League twice, 4 La Liga titles and the Copa del Rey. Barcelona faced Paris Saint-Germain on Wednesday in the Champions League last 16 with a 4-1 deficit to make up from the opening leg. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Ghana's under-20 boys football team is being celebrated in Accra and throughout the country after winning the African title in Mauritania. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghana's under-20 football team, the Black Satellites, defeated their Ugandan counterparts, the Hippos, by 2-0 to leave the CAF under-20 tournament in Mauritania. The Black Satellites arrived in Accra on Sunday and were given a hero's welcome by Ghanaian football supporters at the Kotoka International Airport with dancing and jubilation. At the arrival hall, the vice chairman of the Ghana Football Association, Mark Addo, welcomed the team.
We've been able to put together our team, even under the circumstances that we endured under COVID environment, where we've actually gone and conquered the whole of Africa. I think it's a phenomenal feat that we should all be proud of. We at the FA will continue to support you. We'll continue to support the youth football. And I was speaking to the president and the technical director, and the good news is that from the performance that you've shown, some of you will make it to the senior national team. I think it's a model that we want to continue to build, we want to develop, so that those behind you will always see that there's light at the end of the tunnel. So when you are playing, you know that there's opportunity ahead of you as well.
Many football personalities went to the arrival hall to share the victory with the under-20 team, and not exempted was Ghana's Youth and Sports Minister, Mustafa Yusuf.
The President of the Republic of Ghana, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, and the good people of Ghana, I welcome you all back home, and I congratulate you for what you have done by lifting the flag of Ghana high on the global map. We are so proud of you. 3 weeks ago, you left this country empty-handed. And you are here today with us with gold medals and a trophy. You couldn't have given us any better independence gift than this. This is a befitting independence anniversary gift that you are giving to His Excellency the President of the Republic and the good people of this our great country. said, the whole country is proud of you.
This victory by Ghana is its fourth since the inception of the Under-20 African Nations competition in 1979. The achievement also brought a lot of joy among Ghanaians as the country celebrated its 64th independence anniversary last Saturday. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Fori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Black Satellites, Ghana's under-20 football team, who won the African title over the weekend in Mauritania. Go Black Satellites! The European company Result Sports has reached an agreement with the Kenyan Football League. Result Sports rates clubs based on their social media followers and provides other analysis. To find out more about the partnership, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the CEO of Result Sports, Mario Leo.
Yeah, we're very proud about the partnership with the BetKing Premier League in Kenya. It's been a long conversation, and we're very pleased to reach a partnership agreement with the league. It's consisting of a variety of services where we're doing monitoring and analysis of the teams and the league itself. That counts the community growth, posting engagement, overall posting strategy, help the teams basically to understand which content fits on which platform. And second part, which is likely the most important from our perspective, is the educational part and the knowledge transfer from Result Sports to the league. It fits our campaign from Africa for Africa because we want to empower African football athletes, clubs, leagues and federations to really make full use and unlock the full potential of the digital channels. Third part is more towards the awards ceremony, so we will be accompanying some of the activities in that respect of the league as well.
With the involvement of Kenya, how many clubs or leagues are you partnering in Africa?
Yeah, the partnership is basically strengthening our overall presence in Africa. We really want to help African sports to develop the digital opportunities. We're very strong with our partnership at Unisport in Port Harcourt in Nigeria, with the likes of Fundraiser, with partnerships in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, in South Africa, and now expanding that to Eastern Africa and Kenya. And it's a great goal and achievement from our perspective for Result Sports. So we're very pleased and very honored to be really empowering African sports on the digital journey. And we will do all our best to ensure that from Africa for Africa, that African sports really unleashed its full potential on the digital platforms.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners what the Kenyan Football League will gain from the partnership?
Yeah, I think it's a mutual partnership. It's partners meeting on eyesight. The Kenyan Football League will gain, obviously, knowledge from Result Sports, focusing or transferring knowledge from European standards who have really discovered the digital channels, not only in sharing information and content like sport communication, but also using it as marketing instrument, as merchandising and ticketing sales window, using it for digital marketing and digital sponsorship activities. So all this we will see being part of the knowledge transfer from Result Sports to Kenyan football, the league, the clubs and the federation. So we're very proud, we're very humbled, and we're very honored to the league selection of Result Sports to this partnership. It's a great pleasure.
That's Mario Leo, the CEO of Result Sports. And Mario spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Germany. Finally, on International Women's Day, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová. Petra is celebrating her 31st birthday on this Monday. She twice has lifted the women's singles trophy at Wimbledon, winning in 2011 and 2014. And in 2016, Petra Kvitová won a bronze medal in women's singles at the Rio Olympics. Happy birthday, Petra Kvitová. And that wraps up the March 8th International Women's Day edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young. Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.